Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The Veritex Community Bank Studios currently contains two human beings, as well as two live Western pygmy rattlesnakes and six emperor scorpions. You know, for protection. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 8 o'clock hour. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. My daughter, who is watching the show because my granddaughter, Charlie, watches her grandpa, her papa, every morning. She doesn't understand why my lips aren't moving today. So, because there's just a picture of me in the studio today. Sorry, baby. But Papa will be back on Monday in studio, so you can see his lips move. My daughter says, mixed emotions. We'll miss playing them, but also, bye. Yeah, I think that's the same attitude Texas had.
Yeah, it is.
With Texas A&M. Bye. See ya. You don't want to be here? See ya. NFL, Mike Florio has a couple of things. Roger Goodell discussed the potential of LIV, of the PIF, the Public Investment Fund, Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, which backs LIV Golf, interest in, possibly they want to get into other sports, possibly getting into the NFL. It's something we'll contemplate at some point in time, but we really like our basic model now where we have private ownership, only American ownership. And Florio writes, NFL rules prohibit foreign investment in franchises, but rules were made to be disregarded when sufficiently profitable to do so. So, yes, the public investment fund of Saudi Arabia can get into the NFL if it wants at a price.
Well, how about they start with NFL Media and NFL.com, throw a little money our way?
That would be great, wouldn't it?
So I can get some more editors for my draft profiles so we don't have to wait so long.
Well, they only have $650 billion, and since the Commanders went for $6 billion, I think they could not only buy teams, they could buy the whole league if they wanted. Wouldn't it be something if the Saudis owned the NFL? That would be totally sweet.
Yeah, it sounds like an absolute disaster. Adam Silver came out and said, "Nope, we're not going to get into sovereign funds. That's not something that we have in our league. So we're not."
No, you know what a disaster that would be for the league.
It would be terrible, and frankly, it would be bad for the NFL too. It'd be bad for the NFL too, but you know, the ability to, if you tell an owner, "Hey, we'll give you $6 billion for a team." I mean, these owners, we talk about player greed. If an owner could get $3 billion for a team, or $4 billion, for example, or at least $4 billion for a football team, but says, no, I want $8 billion. I mean, at that point, I know I'm thinking like somebody who doesn't make a million, you know, or somebody who doesn't ever have a chance to make a billion, but I'm just sorry. If you are somebody who would rather, this is money that is, unless you just spend like, I don't know what you'd have to do. Like, are you really going to change the fundamental foundation of the NFL because you're that greedy that you would pass on $5 billion for $10 billion? We're talking bees. Is this really what you want to do? What you want to be known for is letting Saudi money in? Because I swear to God, don't ever talk about, because some of these same owners, I promise you, are the same types who would have been pissed off about Liv and all that. But all of a sudden, when they get a chance to get their billions, they would say yes. Like, at some point, man, somebody's got to take a stand against greed at some point.
Yeah.
It's just, unbelievable how it just wrecks our society.
You know, it's just on a side note, you know who's doing that? Rory McIlroy. Did you hear his comments? He said, if LIV was the last golf league on the planet, I would retire. I am not play. And his name was brought up in the Senate hearings because they had talked about Rory and Tiger leading a team. And he said, well, they didn't talk to me about it because I ain't playing there. So, yeah, that's a guy who's not about greed. There's a lot of greed in golf, and that ain't one of them. But back to the NFL, this John Gruden thing is very interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how this turns out because there could be a lot of mudslinging going on over the next couple of years with this lawsuit. Here is Mike Florio talking about the effects of the John Gruden lawsuit. Mike Florio on the effects of the John Gruden lawsuit.
Well, you know, the headline is that the release of the John Gruden emails was the first domino that led to Daniel Snyder being forced to sell. But if you're following the story carefully, you already knew that. He was free and clear. It was over. It was done. The wrist slap had been administered to Dan Snyder. The investigation report had been brushed under the rug. It was over. When the Gruden emails came out and he got forced out of a job, that dusted everything up again. Congress got involved. And then one thing leads to another and Snyder sells. The bigger issue is the John Gruden lawsuit over who leaked the emails. Now, John Gruden is not going to be a sympathetic figure because he wrote the emails. And many will say he got what he deserved. But when you have a stack, a gigantic stack, Dan, of 650,000 emails, and a small handful of them get pulled out and weaponized to take a guy out, someone decided we're going to take these emails out of this stack, we're going to give them to the media, and we know what's going to happen. Mark Davis is not going to be able to continue to employ him. That's where this whole thing blows up. And this gets back to the fight. Every time the NFL gets sued, they try to pull it into arbitration where they can keep it all secret and they can stack the deck in their favor. And that's where Gruden's case is still hung up more than a year later. Is it going to be in open court or is it going to be in the NFL's private arbitration system? And if it's in open court, John Gruden gets the chance, Dan, to go all the way back down the digital rabbit hole. Who ultimately was the one that forwarded the email to the Wall Street Journal first, the New York Times second. He's going to find out. And one of the quotes that really got my attention in that story, he wants to burn the NFL's house down. Now, that doesn't mean the whole game. He means the league office. He wants to take out Roger Goodell. He wants to take out Dan Snyder if he can, if it turns out Snyder was the one that leaked the emails. And Dan, if Snyder was the one, he may have to worry about a prosecution because he under oath testified to Congress he didn't do it.
Wow. That is going to get ugly. I don't think there's any question about it. If it is an open court, which I hope it is, we'll get all kinds of... Now, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they're going to have to reveal if you got... Because of, you know, how the media is protected under, you know, and who you know, their laws of being able to hide who comes up with what. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see whether or not John Gruden is able to burn the house down and able to take Goodell down. But Dan Snyder, if he's the one that leaked it, it led to him having to sell the team, which was the dumbest move he could have ever made. Because he was in the free and clear before those emails.
The Dan Snyder thing is tough to get my head around. I think more than likely, Gruden probably thinks it was the league office. And then because Gruden, I mean, in essence, you ruined Gruden's reputation. I mean, when I say you ruined it, yeah, that's a private, he had some private conversations, but he did it on, and to be fair, it was also not on, you know, you were sending to, and was it also from league email? So you kind of did it to yourself, but to have it leaked, was that something that was pertinent to the case that was going on against Goodell?
Well, you know,
I mean, going on against Daniel Snyder. It wasn't really pertinent to that, was it?
But no, it wasn't at all. It had nothing to do with it. And the only ones that were leaked were those. So there was somebody that was aiming a gun right at John Gruden.
Because if the idea was, well, it takes the heat off of Snyder, it was going to be temporary. The heat was never going to be off Snyder. So that doesn't really make sense for Snyder.
Oh, no, they said he was free and clear, Lance. They said he was free and clear. If this stuff didn't drop, then Daniel Snyder was going to be able to withstand all the heat, and he was going to be be able to keep the team. That dude made $6 billion. So I ain't feeling bad for him.
No.
Or the racist with the Clippers. You know what? You got all kinds of money. And so, I mean, I don't know what kind of damage Daniel Snyder got with his $6 billion, but he's going to have a real problem because, like he said under oath that he did not leak the emails. But the most logical one, is Roger Goodell, because of the stuff that Gruden
he
said.
Would
him.
Never
oh, you're going to say this about me?
He would
you
never do that. He would never do that.
Oh, yeah. To me, it's already shut. This is an open.
You know who
case.
I think would do something like that? Think about this. The Rock. And here's why I say that. You put attention on the NFL. You try to make them look bad. Your league wasn't playing at the time. You were still, getting ready to play. You had that 2-year hiatus or year and a half hiatus. This seems like it feels like something out of a wrestling storyline. I bet you The Rock was involved with this.
You think The Rock?
I think it was The Rock.
The Rock, who is
XFL,
even have
the
any
Rock.
Part of the NFL.
The He's XFL, the one that who leaked. Would love to damage the NFL, and they're like, well, in our league, we don't do these things. I believe that this sounds like something straight out of a wrestling storyline. This smells like something that The Rock might be cooking.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking,
that's what it smelled like.
Here's what it smells like. It smells like a second half of a baseball season that is about to start up tonight with Shohei Ohtani. How about that? You got to start with the Angels. You're going to start with Shohei. And we'll talk about the second half of the season, big storylines. Coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I'm talking about my people over at Chastang Ford. I love what Chastang Ford does. And right now, the summer sales event is just fantastic. People, if you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car or truck, there's one way to go. You've got all kinds of variety. You've got discounted F-150 models. You've got King Ranch Lariat, the Limited, the Platinum. I got the Lightning. I love my Lightning. I'm telling you, if you just drive around the city, it is the best way to do it. I love mine. You will love yours, too. I trust Chastang. I'm part of the Chastang family. It's unmatched performance. Anything that goes wrong with your vehicle, they're going to stand behind it. Fantastic discounts. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. Other dealerships are just putting $5,000 on because of how difficult the market is. But Chastang Ford has never done that and will never do that. And then when you say, this is what I want in my vehicle, that's what you're going to get. They're not going to try to add tinted windows or leather seats or sunroof. You get the vehicle the way that you want it, and you get it at the price that you got to have. The first thing that they're going to ask you at Chastang Ford is where do your payments have to be on a monthly basis. Where they don't want you choking on this thing. They want you to get very comfortable. Everybody in the city of Houston has to have a car. So you got to have a car, and you got to have it at a value that you can afford. It's so good. Look, you're looking for that Ford car, truck, or even a pre-owned vehicle. You got it at Chastang Ford. They got them out on lot right now. ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
You've been enjoying ESPN 97.5. Time for you to tell a friend about this place.
What is this place?
What is this place?
What is this place?
What is this place?
Whether I be Nautica or Ralph, been a ton of cows, been around the world and I still ain't found that I ain't had yet. Cause I got the access, offshore address, surf like Lapras, Nautica or Ralph.
John plus Lance equals a damn good start to your day. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Oh, something positive.
I know, right? You've just been such a jerk to us lately.
So negative all the time.
I know. How about the Astros starting with Ohtani tonight against J.P. France and Ben Fromber and then Christian Javier? It'll be interesting to see. And then, by the way, that's an ESPN game on Sunday night. A Sunday night ESPN game, the Astros and the Angels, just to see Shohei Ohtani.
How long is Christian Javier's – how long is he off? Is there any chance that they're like – so nothing's wrong with Christian Javier. There's nothing physically wrong with him, right? No one has said anything, unless I missed something. No one has said anything about there's nothing physically wrong.
No.
They skipped him. The last time he has pitched, John, is July 3rd. Today is July 14th. When is he scheduled to pitch next?
On Sunday night.
On Sunday
16th. So he pitched July 3rd, a 13-day break. He needed a break, Lance. I don't know if you saw.
He needed a break for sure.
Yeah, he needed a break. Shohei Ohtani, is he going to get traded?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think so either. I don't think they're going
to
trade him
either. It's so wild to me. I mean, we're not going to trade Kyle Tucker. They're not going to trade Shohei Ohtani. It's just, but when you think of when Randy Johnson got dealt and you think of what they were able to get back in return for him, it's just, you know, they got, who is it, Garcia and who's the infielder? Yeah.
You'll remember that they got better by process of elimination. They got rid of A-Rod.
Yeah.
They got rid of Randy Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went on to win 116 games. Now, they didn't do anything in the postseason, but you know, after they made those trades and they made some really good trades, they had a really good baseball.
It can spearhead you towards a good trade for multiple players, especially if you hit with your evaluations, can lead you to it can be huge for a team. It can be huge for a team, and it's, you know, I'm surprised that more teams don't think about it. They get so caught up in the now as opposed to what they could be with dealing it. But you know, the problem is nobody wants to do it early. You end up getting caught up in we got a chance, and then you end up trading it to somebody who has to decide if they want a rental or not. If you did it a little earlier with a little bit of team control, even if it's a year and a half, it gives you such a great opportunity because then you can, another team is more willing to give up prospects if they know they have somebody for a year and a half or, gosh, 2.5 years, like the Astros have with Gerrit Cole, you're willing to give up more prospects. So a guy like Kyle Tucker, a guy like Shohei Ohtani, they could end up Juan Soto when he got dealt. That could end up bankrolling your future for years to come.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And teams,
that's
how teams have been built.
Very few teams. I mean, Juan Soto, Washington understood, we ain't going anywhere. We got to do this.
Yeah. So, 10 questions for the second half of the season. Number one that they have, who will the Cardinals trade? Jordan Montgomery, Jack Flaherty, Jordan Hicks, Paul Goldschmidt.
Who do you see? I'd say Goldschmidt.
I wouldn't mind taking Jordan Montgomery off their hands if they want to give him up.
Oh, you're just looking at this as an Astros deal.
No, I mean, yeah, I don't care about the Cardinals.
Yeah,
give a rat's ass about them. No one does. Yeah, they average 40,000 fans, but who cares about them? I want them to give us the best player that we can possibly get. Yes, that's all I care for from Astros.
For the
lowest
price. Will
the Mets be sellers?
And for the lowest price.
I don't think the Mets are going to sell. They're certainly not Verlander or Scherzer, even though Scherzer's got a player option for next year.
Mets aren't sellers. Cohen will take a shot next year, but
he's going to take. Yeah, and he'll take his losses.
Golly, Scherzer though, man, Scherzer could put you over the top. Scherzer would still bring you a pretty good package of, even though it's a rental. That's a guy just like Randy Johnson back in the day, where he said, "You know what?
Let's go for it.
We're a team that's this close." You know, I'm trying to think of who that team would be.
Except Dana Brown. First of all, Cohen,
what about the Reds? What about the Reds taking a shot with them? They need pitching. The Reds have great offense. Like, how about the Reds being a team who said, "Yeah, we'll rent him. We know he probably won't stay here. We'll take a rental. We'll take a flyer on it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And question number three: are the Reds and Marlins for real? I really like the Reds. I like watching them play. They've got injuries to Hunter Green.
They're for real, but I guess it depends on what you mean by that.
Well, the Marlins are up there.
Well, the Marlins are
53-39.
No, the Marlins are 100% for real. Are the Reds for real? I think they're for real as a wild card competitor, you know, who is not going to be fun to play for the rest of this year. Yeah, I think they'll compete for a wild card spot. I think they're real in that regard. They don't have enough pitching to win at all. They don't have enough pitching to get out of the first round, to me.
How fun would it be to see the Reds in the postseason? The Marlins, they still, you know, they're still, their fans don't care. The Reds fans care. It's fun to watch them play home games. Can the Rangers stave off the Astros? The answer is no.
Well, the answer is yes if the Astros stay exactly the same way and everyone who's injured stays injured. But, yeah, if the Astros get healthy, I don't give the Rangers any chance. They're no already chance. Showing their mental weakness.
And let's, you know, we're talking about Yordan making his, you know, doing a rehab, and we're talking about Urquidy doing a rehab. Where's Altuve right now? He's on the DL, but he can come back.
Don't worry about him. He'll be fine.
Don't worry about Jose Altuve. Okay. Okay.
He'll be fine. When's the last postseason game Altuve missed?
Listen, yeah, he only missed the first month and a half, 2 months of the season. Now he's got an oblique, okay, after the thumb.
Well, it got hit on the hand.
So, yeah, don't worry about him.
Yeah, but Jose Altuve getting hit on the hand is nothing. You couldn't do anything about that.
You could have.
That wasn't like
Daniel. You could have booed Daniel Bard. I tried to get people to do that.
Yeah, and then you were against mental health.
Then I'm
that's my favorite thing is you're so anti-mental health that you try to get them to boo Daniel Bard. Shame on you.
People, the ugly stuff that people said to me. I feel bad. Now I have a mental health.
Shame.
I have a mental health problem now.
Shame.
Does anyone want to win the AL Central? Pick a team right now. Gilbert said Detroit because Detroit was going to win the World Series, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers.
That's what he said. And Detroit right now is, they're a little ways out.
That's okay. The Guardians lead it at 45-45. Lead the division at 45-45.
I think I like Guardians have better pitching. I kind of like, it's interesting. It is, the White Sox are fading too far out of it, and they're already looking to dump players. So it's going to be a two-team. I think it's a two-team race between those two. It's a two-team nobody-cares race.
Right.
Between the Guardians and the Twins. And now all of a sudden you actually care about Central Division with the Reds 9-0. Man, the Reds are in first place in the division. They passed Milwaukee. Yeah, the Reds are for real. Yeah.
Ever since they got Ellie, they're for real, bro. Can the Dodgers weather the injury storm? Hopefully
not. Man, there's
not.
A chance Philadelphia doesn't even make the playoffs in there.
They just went on an unbelievable streak on the road. And that's a good baseball team. But don't forget, this is where Philadelphia was last year. Philadelphia was in the doldrums, and then all of a sudden they turned it around and they get to the World Series.
The question I have for you is, can the Padres become – can you just write the Padres off now at this point? Because the Padres are basically going to fight with – I mean, I don't think the Padres can catch – they're probably not going to catch a Diamondbacks for a wild card. The Diamondbacks or Dodgers, one of those is going to win a wild card. And then I don't think they can catch – Braves, Marlins, then you're going to have the Reds or Brewers. Basically, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the Padres to go find. It can be done. It can be done, but the Padres are really going to have to get going here. Their payroll is so high. I mean, how do you have Machado, Tatis, Soto? How do you have a team like this and you're 43-47?
Well, there's talk about a story this morning. What NL East team is going to get Juan Soto?
So I wonder if Padres are going to have buyer's remorse because they already gutted their minor leagues for Juan Soto. Are they just going to have to deal Juan Soto basically and say, we can't afford to pay this salary? We got to go get our minor league back. It's something I would be really worried about right now. I'd be really worried about, man. We're going to pay. We just gave up all this future. All of our top four prospects. I think there's one of them they kept. The three of the top four prospects you gave up. And you're going to have to pay this guy $40 million plus a year. And you're not even winning. And he hasn't had an impact on winning last year or this year.
No, none. None. He's only under club control through next year. So this is the time to trade him if you want to get a haul back.
Yep.
Because the Nats got a haul for him, but you had 2.5 years. Now you only got a year and a half.
You know what I do, John? I try to trade him for Ohtani. You keep him on the West Coast. Ohtani wants to be on the West Coast. You keep him on the West Coast. Well, you're going to have to pay. Look, you've already given up.
I'm falling for that because he ain't signing with me after.
Who? Ohtani?
No, Soto.
Soto won't sign with the Angels?
He won't sign with the Angels?
Why not?
I'm not taking because I ain't going to play in – for the Angels?
Why?
He's going to win nothing?
What's wrong with the Angels?
The Angels suck. They always suck. What are you talking about? What's wrong with the Angels?
They're in California, which maybe he likes.
but they're the second California
team. They've got money, and let's face it.
I mean, and it ain't even close. They're the second team, and it ain't even close.
Yeah, but this is not everyone can go to the Dodgers or Yankees.
Every trade has to be Dodgers or Yankees? In Los Angeles, they're like the 12th team. They're the second
baseball
team. Well,
you don't trade. Yeah, I mean, you only trade for Otani if you think you can keep him. You only trade for Soto if you think you can keep him.
Yeah.
That's the only way you make that deal. But if the Angels said, no, we're going to pay $45 million to Juan Soto may absolutely sign there. Why would he not? If he can get the most money there, you have to be committed to it. It's less than you would have paid Otani. And he's a young superstar as a hitter.
It's a young superstar that really isn't affecting winning, like you said.
No, he isn't. But, I mean, if Juan Soto wanted to come to the Astros, I'm like, well, let's have this talked in. Let's have this talked in, because it's not like you've given up on Otani. I know that you would not give up on, not Otani, but on Soto yet. You know how good he is.
Will the Braves and the Rays continue their dominance?
I think the Braves
are unstoppable. But I'll tell you this. Did you see the Rays are leading the league in homers and stolen bases? I mean, you talk about they're powerful and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. That's a pretty good combination.
And look
the
at
Rays
Mike,
are real.
And look what Baltimore's been able to do under their general manager and former Astro executive Mike Elias. Holy crap. I mean, he took over that team, and they were literally a fart in a bottle, and they're 54-35. They followed up last year's season where they excited so many people, and they didn't let down. He's 54-35. This is, by the way, a Leno guy, Mike Elias, is now look what he's been able to do. That's unbelievable that Mike Elias – if at some point people are going to have to take a look and say, this is what's crazy to me, the idea that we've got to get away from this whole analytics schmanalytics and get some baseball eyes on this problem that we're having here in Houston with the World Series appearances and whatnot. We got to really figure out what we're doing here in Houston. This is just too much analytics, too many ALCS, appearances in a row. We got to figure out a way to win every World Series forever. So let's get away from this. Oh, look what it brought us. Oh, Jeff Leno embarrassed us. Yes. Did he build a core that took us to four World Series? Sure. Is Mike Elias now, did he completely revamp an organization that had been in the gutter for years? Okay, sure.
But
we need to get guys like, let Dusty make decisions and Bagwell. And let's get Enos Cabell involved, and let's get baseball guys in here to make baseball decisions with
Reggie
their
Jackson.
Eyeballs.
You forgot Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson. Who else can we get in here? Mike Schmidt.
No,
let's get
Mike
some
Schmidt's
baseball guys in here like a John Kruk.
No, we're not getting John Kruk.
Where's that little guy that used to always piss off the Astros fans? Who is that little guy? The second baseman who
Walt
always
Weiss.
Who? No. The little fellow from the Cardinals who just like, God, dog it, we can't get this little rascal out.
Oh, no, that was Eckstein.
Yeah, let's get a David Eckstein in here. Baseball guys.
Hated
the Shaner.
Eckstein.
Let's get Shaner in here.
Where is the Shaner? We got to get him
know.
On the show.
Baseball eyes. I don't know. I need some baseball people to start making decisions for the Astros instead of these schmanalytics guys. Ugh, gross. All they do is build winning organizations.
Great organizations. I need a Coors Light. And do you think there were some Coors Lights on the course yesterday? The answer would be yes. Even listen, I'm keeping Wisconsin chill, even though it's not even hot here. I got to keep it chill. You know what the mountains were? Blue. The mountains were blue here, and it was easier to keep the mountains blue here because it's not nearly as hot as it is in Houston. But when you got your Coors Light, you're doing your part to keep Texas chill. Now, maybe you can't change the 100-degree weather that we have, but you can certainly change the temperature in your body with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. With those blue mountains, you know. Now, get a koozie so that those mountains stay blue, but get you some Coors Light And if you got to drink it faster, you got to drink it faster. That's fine by me. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to 100-degree weather where you have to drink faster. Okay, I'll do that. Drink responsibly, but make sure that you keep Texas chill. You're looking for the best way to stay refreshed on this holiday season in the city of Houston, this summer holiday season. All you need is cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Keep it in your fridge. Make sure you've got plenty on hand when the folks come over, when your buddies come over. They're going to need those Blue Mountains Coors Light, baby. Stay refreshed.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the Spirit of Radio. Under a physician's observation from behind the glass at the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Jets are going to be on hard. Are you a Hard Knocks guy?
Am I what?
A Hard Knocks guy.
Yeah, you know, I haven't watched the last 2 years, but it's always really well done. It's nothing against Hard Knocks. I just, you know, I didn't tune in, but I'm going to watch it this year. I actually may be going up to Jets camp this year just to spend 2 or 3 days with their scouting department. Just, I'll still do the radio shows or whatever, but I may spend a little time with the Jets this year. So I just want to get on TV on Hard Knocks and see put – what I'm trying to do is see if they put, you know, where I can – I'm going to go try to stand next to people who are mic'd up. And see if they go, hey, the preeminent draft expert, and they dap me up, and then it says, you know, like on their Lance Zierlein, like if they have to put that name underneath. So I'm going to try to go get on TV with the Jets and see if I can get on there. So,
this year, you're standing near is going to say, hey.
Well, if it's Joe Douglas, their general manager, it depends on who's,
preeminent draft expert.
Well, yeah, because if it's a player, they could get mad at me.
Well, right.
Most players don't like me.
Yeah, who is this? This is the guy that said that I don't work hard enough?
Yeah, because Rex Hogan is there, and Rex is the one who brought... Oh, hey, think about that. Rex Hogan is who I'd go stay with, the assistant general manager for the Jets. Rex Hogan is the same guy that when I was in Indianapolis doing the same thing when he was with the Colts, he went downstairs to go find Quincy Wilson, who had already cried about me on Twitter before he and Tease Tabor. And he goes, hey, Quincy, look who it is. He brought him upstairs. I was in Ballard's office. He goes, it's Lance Zierlein. Remember? He's the guy that wrote your draft report. And I literally got out my iPad. I goes, yeah, sit down, Quincy. Let's take a look at it. See where I was unfair with you. Like, I didn't shrink or anything. And he goes, nah, man, I was just messing with you. He goes, you do be kind of hard on players. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm not hard on players. I said, I'm just fair. I said, I'm fair. I'm just being objective. What I see, he goes, okay. I'm like, yeah, well, maybe you'll stay in the league. We'll see. But Rex went and literally found a player, so there's no chance that he – I got to think about a Jet who really wouldn't like my write-up. See, now that would be bad if I made it on Hard Knocks because they caught a mic'd-up player dressing me down on TV. Like, look at your sorry-ass, bull-bleep-ass – scatter report. Pull it up on. I'm going to pull it up on my phone right now. Like, oh no, I don't want this on TV.
33rd team put out some goodbyes. Dark horse MVP candidates. Dark horse MVP candidates. Dak Prescott. 16-1.
Yep.
How about that Jared Goff and Dak Prescott have the same odds? Who would have thought that 2 years ago?
Nobody. And that's kind of – that's a little damning to Dak Prescott because Dak Prescott's being paid like one of the elite quarterbacks in football. This is what's jacked up. Running backs are all upset because of how much they're making. Well, take it out on, you know, quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott, you know. Go take it out on those guys because they're making a ton and they're not even the elite quarterbacks. They get paid elite money while you're doing all the heavy lifting and hardcore stuff. They're the ones who are making all the money.
I think it's more a tribute to Goff than it is a slight to Dak. 16 to 1 aren't bad odds, but the fact that Jared Goff in literally 1 year has moved up to 16 to 1 odds.
I would never give it to Goff. It's to me, I'd be willing to take a shot with Dak. I wouldn't take a shot with Goff. Goff to me doesn't have a legit chance. I think Dak Prescott does.
Okay, so let's say the Cowboys are. Now, if the Cowboys are good, Dak has a really good shot because he's Dak. But I'm going to tell you, but look, I mean, everybody is all over the Lions with, you know, I mean, the Lions fans are just out of control with Dan Campbell and Jack, what's his name?
Who's Jack Jackson. The leading.
Yeah, he's.
No,
he's
not the Jack Jackson. What are you talking? I don't know.
No.
What are you, Jack Campbell?
Jack Campbell. Who's the leading candidate?
Jahmyr Gibbs.
For rookie defensive player of the year.
Jahmyr Gibbs. They've got.
Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah. I mean, they're out of control. But you know what? There's a lot of excitement about Detroit. And if Detroit plays really well offensively, because they could have one of the best offenses in the league this year, if they do play really well, Jared Goff, you know, the voters love a guy who comes out of nowhere, who exceeds expectations. Dak's expectations are already high. Jared Goff's now are rising, obviously, because of last year. But if the Lions are a force and actually a really good team in the NFL, I think Jared Goff has a real good shot.
Here's my long shots. I didn't read this one, but I would say you have to put Tua in there because of the weapons around him. They may not have him there, but if Tua stays healthy, there's no reason.
Yeah, but that's the big if. I don't want to put money on a guy who I don't, you know, can't play.
Well, what's
games.
His odds? I mean, that's what's going to make him have great odds. Is that if he plays 17 games, he's going for 34 touchdowns plus. He's going to have big numbers. I think another guy that you look at would either be Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry. They play in a weak division, and they both have a chance to go for 2,000 yards. So that would be a long shot,
Neither of them are going to be on a good team that anybody cares
about.
Well,
that's the question. I mean, you're going to have to dominate the rest of the division. I think a good dark horse would be I had another one that Justin Herbert's not really a dark horse. Who was another? Not Danny Dimes. I wouldn't go that way. Nobody.
Well, here's what they got.
Minnesota. Who do they have?
How about this? Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson are both 40 to 1. Just like Jared Goff and Dak Prescott are the same. Who would have guessed before last season when Russell Wilson got all of that money from Denver and Kenny Pickett was who had tiny little baby hands who couldn't even hold a bottle.
He can hold a bottle.
Well, he's got little baby hands. How in the world are those two both at the same level of MVP voting, and by the way, at 40 to 1? I mean,
that's how far Russell's fallen.
Yeah, that's how far Russell. That's not a tribute to how well Kenny. You know, Kenny Pickett actually played okay, and there's some excitement about Pittsburgh.
I'm gonna give
football.
You the.
But
okay.
This is all about the fall of Russell Wilson.
I've got a quarterback. Do you have some more on the list?
Yeah,
I've got a quarterback, and I'll bet you they have him too.
Who?
Geno Smith.
Nope.
Geno Smith has DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Jackson Smith and Jigba to throw to.
Yeah.
I mean, and Noah Fant, an athletic tight end.
And
they're in an offense
Kenneth
that
Walker
scores a lot
is
of
a
points.
Game.
The Rams' defense is not going to be very good. Arizona's going to be terrible. There's four games right there. And who's the other team? San Francisco. Yeah. Well, they lost to D'Amico Ryans. I mean, we'll see with San Francisco. But I think Geno Smith, who had good numbers last year, really good numbers last year, why can't he be in the mix?
Yeah. They've got Trey Lance at 50 to 1. If he plays if the 49ers are really, really good and he actually plays good football, I don't know about MVP, but we'll see. But Justin Jefferson they have as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about Justin Jefferson. Yeah.
100 to 1 for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's hard for wide receivers. Well, I mean, Kirk Cousins isn't going to be the MVP, so if Justin Jefferson goes for 18 touchdowns and, you know, 1,800 yards or something and they win the division, yeah, he could win it.
Yeah.
He could win it.
Absolutely.
It's going to be so tough because it's just such a quarterback-driven award that it's just, you know, you're going to have to – you have to really outshine. You have to win a lot. You have to win a lot if you're a wide receiver. I mean, that has to be a 13-win season, 13-4 more than likely, and I don't see that happening.
All right, we got to break it. John Daspit is what we're talking about right now.
John Daspit is what we're talking about. Offices around the state of Texas. There's 10 different ones. What you do is you contact them, and there's, you know, basically there's a link right there on the site where you can get a hold of their office. They speak Spanish as well. So no matter who you are or who you know, if you know someone who needs help because they've been involved in an accident or a group of people were involved in a bad accident, people were hurt badly, there's medical bills. Before anyone signs any agreement, because the first thing that the person who was in the wrong, their insurance company is going to try to get a settlement done with you as quickly as possible, cut a check to you, make it seem really simple. And what happens is they really try to shortchange you. They are looking out for your hospital bills, and that's about it. Do they include the pain and suffering for what you had to deal with through their negligence? Do they include physical therapy if that's needed? You know, what exactly are they including in this? Did they include time off from work? These are all things that need to be considered, and that's why John Daspit is a guy that makes a lot of sense to call. John Daspit goes that extra mile to make sure that everything is considered. He takes a look at what your injuries are. They will do all the heavy lifting to make sure that you and anyone else that you know of gets a very fair settlement. He fights back hard. He's got a great winning percentage, whether it's just getting more for you in the settlement or going to court and winning for you. John Daspit is 100%. His law firm is the one to choose. Call 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW is the phone number. You can also go to DaspitLaw.com for all the information right there on his website.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
You can't keep getting away with it!
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zerline.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Rockets just dominating. They crushed Golden State yesterday. They make it to the semifinals of the Summer League. They've been the favorite. They had Jabari and Tari left. And Amen isn't there. But Cam Whitmore has kept it going. Trevor Hudgens has been really good. And Darius Days had himself a big game yesterday. Now, did he have a breakout? Here's Darius Days, afterwards interviewed. Darius Days, who's a big toe guy, but, you know, leading, he had a big game, and the Rockets are playing really, really well in summer. A lot of people love Summer League, and that's fine and good. It's like, to me, this is a little like Justin Durden. Remember the Justin Durden hype in the preseason?
Yeah.
And then, Darius Days doesn't have much of a shot. But he did feel like he had a breakout game last night. Here's Darius Days.
Man, I'm telling you, yes. You know, my teammates responded to me in the right position. I was locking down shots. You know, everybody was, you know, making shots and getting to their spots. And, you know, we was just having fun out there like we've been having every game we've been here.
That's fun. You know, this is the spotlight for some guys. And Victor Wembanyama. His thoughts on the physicality and the NBA. Son, you play two games in Summer League. You're playing against box lifters and influencers. These guys are going to be getting on Amazon trucks in a week and a half, okay? So this is not the NBA. This is Summer League, so we got to keep it in perspective. So it's nice. I mean, maybe Darius Days and Trevor Hudgens, they get to the G League, and, you know, they try to work their ways up. I'm certainly not poo-pooing it. It's fun for these guys. It's their shot to show with NBA people looking on what they can do, and that's fun. That's great. But we got to keep this thing in perspective. And I know I'm getting a little hyped about Cam Whitmore, but I do see that the Rockets have, you know, picked up a guy with a guy that has credentials, a guy that's got a pedigree. You know, played at Villanova, was, you know, one of their newcomer teams. I don't think he played as well as a lot of people thought he was with the hype that he had coming in. But I think that I really do believe that him lasting all the way to number 20 is going to be a positive for him in his NBA career. I think that he probably took that to heart.
Yeah, I hope so. I remember that Jabari wasn't particularly good in summer league last year, but he came out of being the SEC Player of the Year, and then he wasn't very good in summer league and then had a very up and down year as a rookie. It wouldn't surprise me if Cam, and he had opportunity. Once again, I just don't know with the depth of the Rockets right now on the wing, I don't know that Cam Whitmore is going to have all that much opportunity, but that's okay. I mean, this is not a race. You don't have to race to get guys in. This is really about building. It's about a process, and people don't like hearing that, but that's the way it works, and this process is going to be
It's phase two.
It's phase two. Here's the guys who deserve to be on this roster. Here's the guys who buy into what Ime Udoka wants to do. Here's the guys who are competitive. This is what our team's going to look like offensively. This is who we are defensively. You start figuring out how you shuffle the playing time and the minutes. It'll take a little while. What does it look like with veterans on the roster? You know, some guys are going to stay. Some guys are going to go within the next year because they're not going to fit Udoka's vision, and they're not going to make sense for, you know, it may make more sense for them to go to another team as opposed to stay here and sit on the bench. So you're not in any big rush to have to play Cam Whitmore. And really, Amen Thompson, this is a weird time where the Rockets can look and say, man, we've got some talented guys that we can really slide in here. Even when, you know, you go all the way back to a championship year, Sam Cassell was a nothing in the first half of the season. There was a major factor in the second half of the season, and that was a guy who played 4 years in college. Cam Whitmore played 1 year and was a little disappointing, frankly, in that 1 year college. So it's not a rush. Amen Thompson played in overtime elite or whatever. It's not a rush on him. He'll be fine. Cam Whitmore's
fine. I think he's going to take longer than Cam Whitmore is.
See, I think Amen Thompson can start having impacts on games quickly from a statistical standpoint, but Cam Whitmore's more polished. So I think Amen Thompson, to me, can push the ball, can get to the paint, can make a lot of layups. I just think he's going to be more like Ben Simmonsy early in his career. Not a shooter, but Ben Simmons was a talented rebounder. He could score around the basket. He could get people involved. I think Amen Thompson's got a chance to me, Cam Whitmore, we'll see if Cam will defend it all, but I actually think Amen Thompson, second half of the season, could be pretty interesting because of how he can change
Amen's
the pace.
Like, don't put Amen's sitting there going, don't you put that Ben Simmons evil on me.
Hey, Ben Simmons is all NBA player. I mean, if you don't want that, that's fine. I ain't talking about I'm not talking about broke back Ben the quitter. I'm talking about the guy that was playing pretty well in Philadelphia and got a max contract.
Yeah.
We forget about Ben Simmons was a pretty good player at one point before he just checked out on everything. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
His back got hurt. I'm not saying his back didn't get hurt. I'm sure his back did get hurt. He had surgery. But Ben is also a guy who mentally just fell apart. That ain't Amen Thompson. Twins have some juice now. They've got some mental toughness. I don't know if you watched him play. Asor Thompson, I understand it's a highlight reel I saw, but I was like, dude, wow. He looks really good. I mean, he's in people's pockets. They don't like it at all when he's on them. Did you get to see any of him?
No, I haven't, but dude, he is coming in. He's the more NBA-ready player because he can shoot better. He can shoot better than Amen has the bigger upside, apparently.
Everything people said about Amen Thompson coming in, I saw in that one league, in that one game in the summer league. I'm like, yep. Everything they said about him getting to the hole, about exploding downhill, about his length and just his athleticism, everything people said about him was 100% true.
Yeah.
You could see it in one game. Regardless of competition, it's his physical talent and physical ability.
Absolutely. No. It's gonna be fun to see. It's gonna be fun to see how he develops. But when you got Fred VanVleet, it's gonna be tough for him to get on the floor when you're giving $43 million a year to a guy. Amen Thompson's gonna have a hard time getting on the floor, especially if he has shooting woes.
And that's my worry with Cam Whitmore is you're either gonna have to like Jalen Green or because Dylan Brooks and Tari Eason. I don't see minutes coming. Those guys are Dylan Brooks. You just gave $20 million, and Tari Eason is a card carrying. I mean, Tari Eason is a card carrying core member of your team.
Yeah.
I mean, Tari Eason could end up having a better pro career, honestly, like, you can't rule out Tari. Well, I don't, that's hyperbole. I don't want to say better than Jalen Green, but Tari Eason is every bit the factor that Jabari Smith is right now. And they were drafted in the same draft.
Yep. Yep. Third and 17th. What is – hey, Alperin, it's at 15. What was he, 15 or 16? 15, I think. And Tari at 17? Pretty damn good.
Versus Jabari and Jalen? Hard to believe, but the 2 and the 3, you know, they're not a lock to be better than the other two.
No. And that's NBA where you don't find – you're not – I say you're not, but there's always a bunch of guys that are not great.
I know. Everyone defaults to it.
And then all of a sudden – and then all of a sudden you come up with a Siakam or
if you don't have a top three pick, it's basically a worthless draft.
Yeah.
Every year there's a cutoff point where people act like the draft is just full of garbage. And then there's players who are legit real players in the draft.
Kawhi.
In the first round. Absolutely. Even beyond that, every year, yeah. Every year there's good players you can find in a first round. It's such a joke to act like if you don't get one of these picks, you're just garbage. These picks are worthless. Trade them away. They're worthless. Not if you're good at drafting, they're not worthless.
Yeah. Right. If Oklahoma City is any good at drafting with three picks next year and three picks after with the picks that they've already gotten, the league's in some trouble because Oklahoma City can be good for years and years to come. Build it like a Golden State did if they pick right.
Hey, Houston, Detroit, and Oklahoma City have some very interesting talent on all three rosters.
Yep. All right, breaking in here, 713-780-3776. Go, let's get a call in here today. Let's go. Come on, lazy asses, let's go.
Ooh, roast.
ESPN, 97.5.com. You need to learn.
Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father.